Peacemakers seek solutions, not arguments. Peacemakers calm the waters, they don't stir them up. Peacemakers work for reconciliation, not division. Peacemakers lower their voices rather than raise their voices. Peacemakers generate more light than they do heat.
What does a peacemaker really look like? What do they do? Today on Connect with Skip Heitzig, Pastor Skip concludes his message and shows you the marks of a peacemaker and why they are called blessed. But first, we want to tell you about a resource that will help the children in your life know and love God's Word and pursue His truth.
Attention moms, dads, and anyone who's looking to help children understand the message of the Bible. This month, we're offering the book Soaring Through the Bible for kids. God's Word can be a challenge to read and understand, even for adults. And this kid-friendly version of Pastor Skip Heitzig's popular book, The Bible from 30,000 Feet, gives young children and tweens a panoramic overview of all 66 books of the Bible, helping them see the context and significance of each. Soaring Through the Bible is a travel guide from Genesis through Revelation for kids. Each chapter provides a flight plan for exploring a portion of the Bible, along with a brief synopsis that shows what the chapters are about in language kids can understand. Creatively designed with kids in mind, Soaring Through the Bible also features fun illustrations and fascinating facts to keep young minds and hearts engaged and interested. Soaring Through the Bible for Kids will prepare a child for takeoff on a lifelong journey of learning and loving God's Word. We will send you a copy of this unique book along with a booklet for you by Skip titled Why Truth Matters. Simply make a donation to support and expand this radio program with a gift of $50 or more. Call 1-800-922-1888 or order online at connectwithskip.com.
Now we're going to turn to Matthew 5 as we join Skip for today's teaching.
Peacemakers are people who build bridges, not walls. Anybody can build a wall. Anybody can have a reason, an excuse to sever a relationship, put up a wall. Peacemakers build bridges. You put it this way, peacemakers drain their moats. You know what I'm referring to in ancient times when there was a castle? They would put a moat around it. What was in the moat? What's it made out of? Water. What was the purpose of a moat? To go swimming in, to sail in, little boats in? No, it was to separate people from you. It was to keep outsiders outside. It was to keep enemies away. The only reason a person would drain the moat of their castle is if they have no more enemies. Peacemakers drain their moats. One of the best ways to destroy our enemies is to make them our friends. Make peace. So Jacob approaches Esau and says, I want to make peace. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul said, for he himself, Christ, is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. It's Jesus Christ who makes people one, who brings them together. He's the basis for our peace. Now, I want to take you a little bit deeper into this text, and I want to give you the third component, that is peacemaking detailed. I want to give you some practical steps. Practical steps that Jacob used in approaching his brother Esau. Five tips for making peace with somebody. Now, you might immediately think, well, why do I need tips? Why do I need to make steps? Didn't Jesus just say, you go to the person that you have something against who has wronged you? You just go directly to that person, Matthew chapter 18, and deal with it? Yes, he did, but I think you also know that sometimes relationships can be very complicated. And the steps that I'm going to show you that this man took can help untangle the web and make path clearing just a little bit easier. So think of it this way. Matthew 18 is the principle, go to your brother. What I'm going to show you are the particulars. So I'm going to give you five tips. Number one, use a third party. Use a third party. Not always, but sometimes, use a third party. Jacob did. Notice again in verse 3, Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. He sent a mediator to give a statement of intent, probably out of fear, to be honest. He doesn't know what's going to happen, but this was quite common and, by the way, is still common. When nations are going to make peace, they usually send diplomats. It's not like the president and that person's prime minister or king or dictator get together. Diplomats get together and they discuss terms of peace. They use a third party. Now, most conflicts in your life, you'll be able to handle one-on-one. You'll be able to go directly to that person in Matthew 18. But sometimes it will require outside help. Sometimes you'll need to find a spiritually mature, impartial person who can sit in the room and observe how these people communicate and how they respond in their communication. And because in any conflict, emotions can be very edgy, a third party can help calm the waters and remind one party, well, he didn't say it that way. That's not what I heard. This is what I heard, and can restore objectivity. You don't have to turn there, but you may want to just, if you're taking notes, and I hope you do take notes, because otherwise you'll forget 95% of any message. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6, go read that sometime. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the whole beginning part of the chapter is this. You know, Paul is saying, why are you guys taking each other to court as believers in Christ? What are you suing each other for? Can't you find a single mature spiritual person in your midst who can be an arbitrator, a mediator, and help resolve this conflict? So that's the third party. And even Jesus himself said, when you're going to make peace with somebody and you go to that person alone, if they don't listen to you, you bring one or two others with you. That's the injection of a third party. So use a third party. Number two, second tip, bathe the conflict in prayer. Now, this almost goes without saying, but because we do forget the simplest things, we state it. Bathe the conflict in prayer. Go down to verse 9. Jacob said, O God, he's praying now, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant, for I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, not staff of people, but like wooden stick, and I have now become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. For you said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for a multitude. Okay, so clearly Jacob is scared that Esau is going to make good on his promise years before and kill him. But what I want you to see is what he does. He prays. He realizes peacemaking is impossible in my own strength. I can send a third party, but peacemaking apart from God just won't work. So he includes God in the process. Did you know that God should be our first response rather than our last resort? Why is it that he's our last resort? Why is it that we even say stuff like this? There's nothing left to do except pray. Well, dude, you should have started there. Then you wouldn't be so freaked. Bathe it in prayer. Begin in prayer. It should be your first response, not your last resort. You know what most people do in conflict? They don't talk to God. They talk to others. That's called gossip. That doesn't resolve the conflict. That just spreads the conflict. Rather than talking to others about others, talk to God about others. Talking to others about others is gossip. Talking to God about others is prayer. And that works. So he talked to God. Bathe in prayer. Third tip, bring a token. Bring a token. You say, what is a token? Well, a token's a gift. Now, again, not always, but sometimes. Let's look at what he does. Verse 13. So he lodged there that same night. This is chapter 32 of Genesis, verse 13. He lodged there that night. and took what came to his hand as a present, a token, a gift for Esau, his brother. Let's see what he gave him. Like, did he give him flowers or candy? No, he gave him 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 male camels with their colts, 40 cows, 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys, and 10 foals. He gave his brother 550 animals. He gave him a farm, a zoo. Now, probably he thought by this largesse, he's going to pacify his brother. It's going to be just a great statement of generosity. I am not suggesting that you try to buy a person off. I am not suggesting that you can erase months or years of conflict and resentment by a little gift. But when it's part of the total package, the total plan, the using the third party, the bathing it in prayer, and some of the other things, it will show the earnest attitude that you have to be a blessing to that person. You're there not to take, you're there to give. You're there to be a blessing to them and to make amends. Proverbs 18:16 says, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. The idea of making room is it opens that person's heart up. It makes room in that person's heart for you. It provides access that has been shut up to this point. It takes them off guard. They don't expect that gift. Jesus said, if somebody wants to sue you to take your shirt, what do? Do you countersue them? Is that what Jesus said? Somebody wants to sue you to take your shirt, countersue them. No, he said, give him your cloak also. Give him a gift. Give him more than he's trying to get. That'll flip him out. That'll take him off guard. So bring a token. Number four, fourth tip, making peace. When you make peace, walk with a limp. Walk with a limp. So we don't have time to go through the whole story, but while he's going on to meet his brother Laban, he meets the angel of the Lord. He's called the angel of the Lord by one of the other prophets. The angel of the Lord meets with him, and Jacob and the angel get into a wrestling match that lasts all night. Let me take you down to verse 24. So Jacob is left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Verse 25, now when he saw, that is the angel of the Lord saw, that he did not prevail against him. In other words, this Jacob guy is just, he's a fighter. He just won't let go. He touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So, Jacob gets into a wrestling match with an angel. By the end of it, probably toward morning, his hip is out of joint, which means that when he sees Laban later on that day, number one, he's really tired because he's been wrestling all night. Number two, when he saw his brother Laban, he's probably walking like this. If it's out of joint, right? He's walking with a limp. He's walking with a limp. So he's not filled with strength and power. He's walking with a limp. Why is that significant? Because it's so appropriate. You remember what Jacob means, the name Jacob? It means heel catcher. Because when those two boys were born, Esau came out first, Jacob came out second, they were twins. Jacob came out grabbing the heel of Esau. So they called him heel catcher. That's his name, one who grabs the heel. And it proved to be prophetic because he tripped his brother by stealing his blessing later on. So I love the fact that heel catcher is caught. And heel catcher is walking with a limp. So he comes in not with hubris, but with humility. Because he's walking with a limp. So in conflict, follow this advice. Be humble. Go low. Because pride, arrogance, smugness, desire for revenge, all of these are the enemies of peace. Remember, you forgive because you've been forgiven. You love because you've been loved by God. You clear the path because the path has been cleared for you. Be humble or you'll stumble. That's number four. Number five, fifth little tip in the details here. Let down your guard. Let down your guard. You know, typically when people go into the room to make peace, whether it's a husband and wife or whether it's people who are at business and at odds with each other and you have an arbitrator, a mediator, usually things begin very formal. And they can stay that way. But real healing takes place when the parties let their guard down. So I want you to watch this. In verse 3 of chapter 33, Genesis 33, verse 3, then he crossed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near his brother. Now, this was all formality. This is how they did it in those days. So I'm Jacob. Esau's down at the other end of the platform, except he's way, 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 way far away. As soon as he sees me, I stop and I bow down. I do my little formality like that, right? And then, so he knows, that guy just bowed down way, way out there. So that must be Jacob. Gets a little bit closer. Now he can sort of make me out and a little easier. And I do the same thing again. I bow down and I get a little bit closer. I keep doing that 7 times. All of that was just formal peacemaking strategy. But verse 4, but Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him. Watch this. And they wept. 2 grown men, one swore to kill the other, one deathly afraid that he is going to be dead by nighttime. They both wept. That's letting your guard down. There's no macho man here. There's no brave face they put on here. This is just authentic stuff. That touch, that embrace, they've been away so long. And there's a willingness between them to make things right. This is authentic emotion. Let your guard down. So we have peacemaking defined, we have peacemaking demonstrated, and we have peacemaking detailed. Let's go back and close this thing off in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Let me give you peacemaking detected. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Notice he doesn't say, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall become sons of God." You don't become a child of God by being a peacemaker. You become a child of God by receiving Jesus Christ. That's how you become a child of God. John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. That's how you become a child of God. But having become a child of God, you will be called a child of God when you make peace. That is, people will be able to say, "You must be related to God. You remind me of God," because God is a God who likes to make peace. God likes to clear the path, and you're doing that. You must know him. You must be related to him. You must be a child of him. There's a family resemblance that I see. That's the idea. They will be called sons of God. You know what? Peacemaking is a great advertisement for the God of peace and the Prince of Peace. A person who says, "Man, I want to make peace. I'm a peacemaker." If that's your general attitude, you are a great ad for God. Let me tell you what's not a great ad for God. Grumbling, complaining, being disruptive, being divisive, quarrelsome. Anybody who lives that way, we have a doubt to question that person's walk with the Lord. Blessed, oh, how happy to be envied, blissful, satisfied are the peacemakers. They will be called. We can detect that they are children of God. So peacemakers seek solutions, not arguments. Peacemakers calm the waters, they don't stir them up. Peacemakers work for reconciliation, not division. Peacemakers lower their voices rather than raise their voices. And peacemakers generate more light than they do heat. That's a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. Now, as we close, just remember where the peace initiative began. Peace initiative from God began at the cross. At the cross, God was building a bridge so that God and humanity could come together, could be reconciled. Romans chapter 5, verse 10, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. There was a husband and wife who had the worst possible experience, and that is the death of a child. Their only son died. They buried him and tried to work through it, but as is so often the case, the relationship was so utterly strained after that that they broke up. They were estranged from one another, and he, the husband, moved to another side of the country. The wife stayed in town. Years passed after that son's death, and the husband was back in town for business. And what was the first place he did? Where was the first place he would visit? The grave of his son. He went to the cemetery, stood there for hours, wept, had memories of the past. It was a very difficult moment. It was a healing moment at the same time. And as he was about to leave, he heard footsteps behind him, and he turned around and he saw, guess who? His estranged wife, who was also visiting the cemetery that morning. Their first response in seeing each other was to be repulsed, to pull away, to turn away. But they didn't, because they had a mutual interest in that one grave. So instead, they clasped hands and began a reconciliation process. They were reconciled over the death of their only son. We are reconciled to God over the death of his only son. As painful as that was for the father, it brought you and I to him. We are reconciled to God through the death of his son. We'd like to have peace internationally. There will not be peace among the nations of the world until there is peace in the individual nations themselves. There will not be peace in the individual nations themselves until there's peace in the communities within the nations themselves. There will not be peace in the communities of those nations until there's peace dwelling in the hearts of the people that live in those communities. And there will not be peace in the hearts of those people until the Prince of Peace occupies stage center, the throne of a life. I wonder if you've done that. I wonder if you've allowed him to occupy the throne of you, where he is your Lord, your Savior, your Master. If not, this is a perfect day to do it.
That's Skip Heitzig with a message from his series, Give Peace a Chance. Find the full message, as well as books, booklets, and full teaching series at connectwithskip.com. Now, here's Skip with an invitation for you to join he and Lenya Heitzig on a Holy Land tour next year.
Hey, our 2024 Israel tour is coming up. This is Pastor Skip, and we still have space on this trip that Lenya and I are hosting. We will be touring Israel from May 1st through May 12th. I hope that you'll join us firsthand to see some incredible sights like the Sea of Galilee. I'm sure you've always wanted to see that. The Temple Mount in Jerusalem and the Garden Tomb, the place many people believe is where Jesus rose from the dead. The final deadline for registration is December 31st, so there's still time to take action and join Lenya and I for the trip of a lifetime. Find full Israel information at connectwithskip.com.
We're glad you've joined us today. Connect with Skip Heitzig exists to bring more people into God's family and connect listeners like you to his unchanging truth. That's why we make teachings like this one today available to you and others on air and online. If they've helped you connect with Christ today, would you consider giving a gift to help others around the world connect with him in the same way? Just call 800-922-1888. That's 800-922-1888. Or visit connectwithskip.com/donate. That's connectwithskip.com/donate. Thank you.
Come back tomorrow as Skip examines what happens when peace gets personal.
I've discovered that most people define peace as the absence of something. You say, well, what is peace to you? It's a no war. It's the absence of war. It's the absence of strife. It's the absence of conflict. Listen, you can have the absence of war and strife and conflict in a cemetery. And that's not the best role model of peace, is it? So it's not the absence of something, it's the presence of something. God's definition isn't the absence of conflict. God's definition of peace is the presence of God, of Himself.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wood. Make a connection.
Connect with Skip Heitzig is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.